Well, occasionally we'll have a closing song to punctuate the message, but that is the message. God is great, and the greatness of God has gotten really personal because the greatness of God knows your name. I love how Eugene Peterson writes the description of the arrival of Jesus in the message when he says, God moved in to the neighborhood. That's true for you and for me. And our hope today, my prayer for you and for us as a church, is that you would experience the greatness of God. That you would be reminded of the greatness of God. And that the greatness of God would lift you today, no matter what's happening in your world. Because there is a God who knows your name, the God that created the stars and the galaxies that we're only slightly beginning to understand. He also created you and is drawn near to you. There is a great God who's moved into the neighborhood. I love how the Apostle Paul describes this when he's trying to let us know that the greatness of God actually has a name. And the greatness of God, that name is Jesus. In the book of Colossians, he's trying to let us see from the expanse of the universe all the way to the neighborhood. This is how he describes the greatness of God, because the greatness of God is given to you and me in the form of a person. He says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created, things in heaven, and yes, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Jesus. All things were created for Jesus. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. And it's true today for you and for me that God has moved in to the neighborhood. And what I want to do for a few minutes, perhaps, is just lift your vision a little bit to understand that the greatness of the Savior that we're dealing with can change everything. You know, maybe you're like me. Sometimes life just has a tendency to push your vision down, and you can kind of look down at life, and the scriptures remind us to look up. We got an example of this 50 years ago next year when mankind landed on the moon. And in the haste to get to the moon, which was an amazing thing, we began to look back and we saw this incredible blue ball for the very first time. It was called the Earthrise. And in this awe-inspiring, breathtaking photo, we began to understand that there is someone who created all of this. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to you and to me, is that the one that created this blue ball that you and I call home is the same one that created the stars and the universe and you and me. And this is the invitation that Paul invites us to in verse 9 when he says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, which what he was saying is all of this incredible glory and power and creativity has been embodied in one person. In that one person, you can get to know him. And the amazing thing for us and for you and for me, and this is why when we experience the greatness of God, that God can lift our vision, is that we can do life with the one who embodies the greatness of God. That you can actually take your prayers and your concerns and your good things and your bad things, and you can actually walk with the one who embodies the greatness of God. And what this means for you and for me is that when we encounter the greatness of God, something powerful happens. That when you and I encounter the greatness of God, it meets us in our broken places. And I know some of us here today, you might not think that you have broken places. And I understand that. I would just encourage you to ask the people in your life about that, because there are broken places. And many times people think because there are broken places in my life, that disqualifies me from the Savior. No, that's why he's called Savior. And here's the incredible thing, is that when God's greatness meets our brokenness, it leads to wholeness. When the fullness of the deity meets the brokenness of you and me, it grows us up to be the men and the women God has called us to be. And the reason we want to do this today, the reason we want to lift your vision is to remind you that, yeah, hey, you've got some broken places. I certainly have some broken places, but the great Redeemer can heal those broken places and lead us to fullness and wholeness. Because when God's greatness meets our brokenness, it leads to wholeness. That's the healing power of the Savior. And that's great news today. But there is a problem when it comes to the glory of God. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about for a few minutes today, hey, this is great news. God is great, and we can, and God's moved into the neighborhood, and God's greatness, when he meets God, our brokenness, it can lead us to growth and health and wholeness. That's great news. But there is a problem when it comes to the greatness of God. And we can't ever lose sight of this problem as a church. The problem is that in our community, in Gwinnett County, there are children that are growing up in our county who've yet to experience the greatness of God. The problem is that there are students, thousands of students, by the way. In fact, you've heard me say this. 8 of the largest 10 high schools in the state of Georgia are here in Gwinnett County. There are students who have yet to experience the greatness of God in our county. And there are adults who all of their life, they've spent all of their lives never experiencing the greatness of God, the one that created it all, who also created them. They've yet to experience the greatness of God. And it's not their fault. They've just never been told. And that should bother us as a church. And here's why this should bother us. When this stops bothering us as a church, we stop being the church God has called us to be. When we stop being bothered that there are children in our county today who aren't in Wombaland or Upstreet or any church for that matter, when we stop letting that bother us, we immediately stop being the church God has called us to be. When we stop having a burden for middle school and high school students who are experiencing anxiety levels, the likes of which the world has yet to ever see, suicide rates among teenagers, an astronomical rate. We are in the heroin triangle. When all of that stops bothering us as a church and we just sing how great is our God and then move on, when that stops bothering us as a church, we stop being the church God has called us to be. And the reason is because we drift off of the mission that Jesus came here when he was here. Jesus was really clear. There should be no ambiguity about this. Jesus is really clear. Hey, Jesus, what is your mission? What are you here to do? And this is what he said. He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are far from God, who've yet to experience the greatness of God." That's what he came to do. And anytime a church drifts off of that mission, they stop being on mission with Jesus. And the incredible thing of your story, Gwinnett Church, is from the very beginning, you have stayed on mission. It's bothered you that students had to sit in trailers, so you built a building. It bothered you that there were children and students and adults who couldn't understand the greatness of God. So you serve and you give and you do all the things that God has called us to do here. And in essence, what you're doing is you're lining up exactly with the mission of Jesus. You're lining up with this really interesting phrase that bubbles up in the New Testament from time to time. And they just simply said, "Hey, come and see. Come and see. I know nothing ever good comes out of Nazareth, but just come and see. I know that it's hard to believe that this guy, we know he's Joseph's son, the carpenter, but I know it's kind of a stretch to think that he's the savior of the world, but come and see." And for 7 years now, our story of come and see, the way we say it is that we want people to understand, come and see, we want you to understand that God is for you. And the reason this is so important is because it ties into spiritual growth. I love how Dr. Henry Cloud, an incredible author and psychologist, says it this way. He says, "For people to grow, they must understand that God is for them, not against them. That it's impossible for people to grow in their relationship with God if they somehow think that God is mad and angry and disappointed and against them. That's impossible. But once people understand that this great God is actually for them, wants the best for them, and can heal them of the brokenness in their lives, they put themselves in a position to grow. Come and see. Come and see. God is for you. And that's been our story from the very beginning. In fact, when we bought this land in the city of Sugar Hill, graciously said, hey, you could put a sign out there that says Gwinnett Church coming soon. We had so many construction delays, I didn't even know what the date could possibly be. Gwinnett Church coming sometime before Jesus returns, right? But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want our first message, our first introduction to the community to be about a church, because there are many people that say, I don't do church. I'm gonna just drive them right on by. So the first message of this property to those who drove by Peachtree Industrial Boulevard was this. We just put a sign out there and said, hashtag for Gwinnett. That's it. That's what we want you to know. And people would come up to me and ask me and say, hey, how are they gonna know this is a church? And I said, exactly. And they started asking, what is going on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard? People started getting their pictures. They started stopping, getting out of their car, and getting their picture next to the sign. This guy said, my part-time job is holding up the sign of For Gwinnett on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard. People started asking, hey, what does this mean? What is this all about? People started tweeting and says, hey, does anyone know what's going on PIB, hashtag For Gwinnett? And we retweeted it and said simply, we do, smiley face. That's all. There's no Bible verse. Just come and see, come and see, come and see. And then we gave you t-shirts and you wore the t-shirts in the community. And then people started asking, what is this all about? I love this from Jennifer Thatcher. She went into the bank and to have a meeting, and she wore her For Gwinnett shirt, and the bank manager said, hey, before we get started, can I ask you, what does For Gwinnett mean? I see it all over the place. And Jennifer began to explain to the bank employee that, well, God, we believe God is for you, not against you. That's what this message is about. And I can't tell you how many people have been invited to this church because you wore the shirts, you went into the community, and people came up to you. You didn't have to hand them a Bible tract. You didn't have to get on a megaphone and yell at them. You just simply wore the shirts, and people asked you about them, and you said, come and see. Come and see. We believe God is for you. If you think it's too good to be true, come and see. Tony and Sam mentioned this earlier, but it's one of the reasons I love the car magnets that we're going to give out again today. And I had this idea that while you were in here, I was going to send a team of people to go ahead and just place these on your car. But I didn't think that's what Jesus would do, so I decided not to do that. I'm going to leave you to do that, but I'm going to let you pray about it. But here's why this is so important, is that this is just a touch of generosity. That as you're going through the drive-thru line and as someone gets up to the window and they say, oh, you don't have to pay today. Somebody paid in front of you. And this that touch of generosity. You're thinking, Jeff, does that make a difference? Well, let me share you this story. And I love this story from Chick-fil-A, that they had so many people doing this. They actually had to put a sign up to get people through the drive-thru faster. And the sign was this: let us know if you are hashtag for Gwinnett. In other words, we got to get you through the drive-through line, all right? And I love this story from Chick-fil-A, that they said the record number of people who paid it backwards was 103 people. Isn't that amazing? That little generosity. Now, who knows what God can do with that little bit of generosity? When we have our little bit of faith and connect it with God's glory and God's greatness, who knows what can happen? The other question I have is, I wonder who was the 104th person. I have a feeling we're going to find that out in heaven. But that's another sermon for another day. So that's been your story, Gwinnett Church. So from the very beginning, when we opened up at Gwinnett Center for 3 months, 3 months of setup and teardown, those of you who gave and served and wrote checks to financially allow us to do that. And then through the generosity of Dr. James Merritt and the Crosspoint family, they allowed us to be at Crosspoint for 3 years on Sunday. Sunday night after Sunday night after Sunday night. This is heavy lifting, getting this thing off the ground. Come and see, come and see, come and see. This was a milestone moment. But I want to show you one of those milestone moments. This was the final night at Cross Point. We got all together. This is the final night at Cross Point. We got everybody together, got this big scissor lift and took a picture and said, hey, this is a milestone moment. Thanks for getting us off the ground as we now head to Sugar Hill. But to give you perspective on this, our church has grown 5 times this amount. So for those of you, yeah. Those of you who've given and served, I'm telling you, as Charlie was saying, and as Paul was saying downstairs, God is blessing your generosity. And then we moved in here. We moved into Sugar Hill, and we quickly ran out of space here, and we built the student building. But this place is an opportunity here at Sugar Hill. This place is an opportunity for us to tell people, hey, come and see, come and see, come and see. But the ultimate goal here is for God's greatness to meet people where they are and lead them to wholeness. And one of the ways we describe that is through life change. We want people's lives to change because that's what Jesus does. He changes our lives and grows us up to be the men and women God's calling us to be. And one of the ways we've seen that in our story is when people get baptized. I mean, just unbelievable opportunity to see people come out of the water and to experience the greatness and the beauty of the symbolic opportunity where the waters say that the sin has washed the water, the grace of Jesus has washed our sins away, and it's symbolic of the death and the burial and the resurrection and the joy that happens when people come out of the water. The thing I love about our church is that we celebrate like crazy when people come out of the water because it shows our hearts are tender. Children have been baptized. Students have been baptized. Adults have been baptized. It's absolutely phenomenal. In fact, let me show you a glimpse of some of them. In our journey together, over 500 people have come out of the water. 500 people have been baptized in our journey together. And this isn't all of them. We couldn't get everybody on the screen. We don't have a screen that big enough. That's our story. That's your story. But it takes me back to the problem. There are adults, students, and children who haven't met Jesus yet. We haven't arrived. God hasn't blessed us with success. God has blessed our church with potential. And the question for you and me and all of us that call this place our home, what are we going to do to steward that potential really, really well? One of the heartbeat songs of our church from the very beginning has said this phrase that, God, we're not going to move without you. We're not going to move without you. But at the same time, give us the courage and the strength and the faith to keep moving on. And just so you know, those of you that serve and on staff and do all this, this is an extraordinary amount of hard work. And we need to move at a sustainable pace. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, we can't stay put and keep comfortable. And every now and then, there are going to become opportunities for us to get uncomfortable again and to invite change. And that's where we're heading as a church. It's going to be an extraordinary amount of change, but it's for an extraordinary opportunity that I am thrilled about. And that's Hamilton Mill. Now, here's the cool thing about Hamilton Mill. We're going to have 2 locations, Sugar Hill and Hamilton Mill. But the thing you have to understand is we didn't go looking for this. It came looking for us. I think God opens up opportunities for churches that are saying, we are bothered by the same thing that bothers you. That there are people in our community and county that don't know you, haven't experienced your greatness yet. And that bothers us. Can you help us help the kingdom? And so a couple of years ago, we were presented with the opportunity to purchase a broken, old down, former Winn-Dixie grocery store. And we decided through a lot of prayer, through a lot of conversations, through an up and down journey that I'll share with you some other time, God made it clear to us, open this as a church again. And that's been our journey. Now, some of you have have driven by there, and you know, we have the barriers up, and we don't, you know, kind of looks like Fort Knox and all that kind of stuff. So I apologize for that. But so I wanted to let you in on to see some of the construction and how Hamilton Mill is looking. This is going to be, as you walk in, this is going to be the lobby area. It's a huge lobby area, by the way. And then as you open the door, this is going to be our first time guest experience area. Like the gallery is going to come right. You'll be able to see this right when you walk out of the theater. We're walking you through now the theater, and we can seat around 800 people there. And that we're very excited about that. This is going to be a very, much like this, very intimate, small setting. So we're excited about that. But surrounding the theater are some fantastic family ministry space. And we were able to go in there, and it's just been, you know, the construction team has done an incredible job. This is actually going to be the student small group space. And so we'll immediately start with transit when we start, which is very exciting. And there's a lot of small group space. There's also a large group space here that students are going to be able to have large group space. What they do in large group is have a lot of fun. They have a speaking. They have a worship set. Much like everything that they experience here, they'll be able to experience there. And then this is the Wambaland large group space. So we'll be able to have Wambaland and Upstreet and Transit and two morning worship services, which we're thrilled about. And we're talking about when to launch Inside Out for high school students. All of that leads me to this. This is an extraordinary opportunity, and it's very challenging. And the reason it's challenging is we have to launch one church while keeping another one going. So if you're here today and you're like, hey, I'm so glad about Hamilton Mill, that doesn't really involve me because we're going to stay here. It actually does involve you, because we're about to lose a lot of volunteers that will go over there. So what we're going to really ask you to do is to backfill those volunteer slots. And what I want to share with you is that's going to have a huge challenge for Sugar Hill as we move a lot of people to Hamilton Mill. But there's some extraordinary things going on here. So we got to keep things going here while at the same time launching a church. So to do that, I'm asking those of you who are currently not serving, who are currently not engaged on a Sunday morning environment, I'm asking you to help us by signing up to serve. I'm going to put on the screen the number of volunteer roles that we need. And these are in three primary areas. And you actually have this card in front of you. And if you wouldn't mind getting this card out, this would be very, very helpful for me. And just pretend like you are if you're not going to do that. So we have four primary areas. Wambaland and Upstreet, which is kind of one overarching children's area. Middle school, which is transit, and then guest services. So as you can see, we need 64 people to start serving here at Sugar Hill, because we're going to lose a lot of people to Hamilton Mill. We need 79 people to sign up to serve in children's. We need 22 people to serve in students for transit here at Sugar Hill. We need 24 people to sign up to serve at transit over at Hamilton Mill. We need 16 new guest services volunteers, and we need 124 new guest services volunteers at Hamilton Mill. I'm not good at math, but they tell me that's 329. So 329 new volunteers. And for those of you that currently aren't serving, here's what I would like for you to do. Understand, you're not signing up to serve and start next week. You're signing up to serve to start in January. And the reason this is important, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you would just consider this, would you just sign up for January through the end of May? That's all. January through the end of May. January through the end of May. That's all I'm asking you to do. Now, this is really concerning when the staff hears me say this, because unless Jesus comes back, we're going to have church in June, okay? But it's incumbent upon us to have you have such a great experience volunteering that when May gets here, you're going to keep on going. And that's what I believe will happen. And also, here's what I want you to understand. When we don't get engaged to the church, just given enough time, you'll be disenchanted with this church and then move on to the next one. That's the challenge of not being involved. But here's the other thing. It's an invitation that you and I will never know what the church can do through us until we experience what the church can do for us. And I want you to hear someone say your name in the baptism video. I'm so excited that this person invited me, or this person gave, or this person served. And every single time, by the way, someone gets baptized, every single one of you serving and giving, that's credited to your account. I believe that. Because God is noticing your faithfulness. And again, why are we doing this? Why open up another campus? Things are going really well. Why do all this? Here's why. It goes back to the problem. God is great, but there are children and students and adults who don't yet know his personal greatness in our lives. And any time a church gets comfortable with status quo, just given enough time, that church will eventually implode because they've gone off mission. And this is an opportunity for you and me to stay on mission by serving here and serving at Hamilton Mill. And here's the cool news, Gwinnett Church. Whether we want it or not, it's coming. It's coming. It's here. Because I'm very excited to announce for the very first time publicly our grand opening day at Hamilton Mill. So we'll put this on the screen, and here's where we're going. We're going to open up Hamilton Mill on Sunday, January 27th. Very excited. We'll have two locations on January 27th, and I can't wait to see what God does there. But here's what I want to leave you with today. We're not going through the motions. We're not just doing something because we don't have anything else to do. We're doing this strategically in line with the message of Jesus, the purpose of Jesus when he said, I've come to seek and save the lost, because when I seek and save the lost, my greatness meets their brokenness and it leads to fullness and wholeness. In fact, let me show you this. So this is kind of our bottom line for the day. When God's greatness meets our brokenness, it leads to wholeness. When God's greatness meets our brokenness, it leads to wholeness. One of the things I love about the Hamilton Mill property is that the Hamilton Mill property really is a picture of this. In fact, let me show you a picture of the Hamilton Mill property when we got it. It was a broken down, abandoned, closed down old grocery store. Forsaken, forgotten, locked up, lights turned out, broken. This really symbolizes our lives apart from God. But when God shows up, brokenness leads to wholeness. And God's greatness grows us up to be who he's called us to be. And that little old broken down grocery store is going to shine like a city on a hill in the next few weeks. My invitation to you is don't miss this. Don't miss what God's doing here. Don't miss what God's doing there, because our God is a great, wonderful, mighty God who has come to you, but also to the people in our community. So today, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to fill out a card. I'm asking you to pick one thing to check off. You'll take that card, drop it into the bucket with our guest services, amazing guest services volunteers. We will contact you over the next few days. We'll set up an orientation for you to meet. We'll prepare you for January 27th in both locations, and we'll give you between now and the end of May to convince you that don't you want to be a part of this. And the other amazing thing that I'll leave you with is when we do this, we're really standing on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. We're standing on the shoulders of the Apostle Paul. We're standing on the shoulders of the Apostle Peter. We're standing on the shoulders of our brothers and sisters who gave their lives in the early days of the church to give us opportunities like this. But not only that, we're standing on the shoulders of our friends at North Point Community Church and Buckhead Church who began to write a story like this, who so thankfully for the people in Alpharetta at North Point Community Church, they didn't go, you know what? I think we're good. You know, we know where to sit. We know where to park. Our kids love it. I think we're good. No, you know what they did? North Point Community Church wrote a check for $3 million and gave it to the people starting Buckhead Church to say, hey, there's a broken down grocery store down there. What if we see if that works? $3 million. And the reverberating impact of that little grocery store has flowed all over the city to Gwinnett County and all over the world. I'm so thankful that they did that. But now it's our opportunity, and I'm asking you to continue to join us in their story. But most of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you to those of you who give. Thank you to those of you who serve. Thank you for those of you who invite. Thank you to those of you who put that Four Gwinnett magnet on your car and pay it backwards. Thank you for wearing the shirts, because it's not just a marketing slogan. It's the gospel. Come and see. That's our story. That's the story of the church. That's the story of the greatness of Jesus. And all I'm saying to you today is let's keep writing a great story together for the glory and for the honor of Jesus. Let me tell you a story of a group of people who went before us. They dreamed of creating a different kind of church. They started in a ballroom and eventually landed in a field. Little did they know what was about to happen next. Their dream, it grew. It grew beyond anyone's wildest imagination. Their dream inspired another group of people to dream, to start a church like this in their community. And the inspiration spread through city streets, suburban neighborhoods, and country roads. New churches rose up, formed by people of great faith and clear vision. They led, they served, they gave. And our communities are better for it. Today, we stand on their shoulders as we continue our chapter in the story. We continue to create environments that unchurched people love to attend. We continue to create places where anyone can belong, even before they believe. Where people can encounter a God who loves them as they are, a God who is for them, waiting with open arms to welcome them. Together, we continue to make a mark on the hearts of our community that will last far beyond our own lives. This is our chapter in a story spanning generations. The story of our community. The story of the church. The story of Jesus.